Imagine walking through a brand new city today, like August 31st, 2026, and you look around and realize that 90% of the skyscrapers are just, they're quietly suffering from this profound structural collapse.
Right, which is a terrifying thought.
It's completely terrifying. And, well, that is exactly what we are seeing today in the software engineering landscape. We're digging into a deep dive on this new masterclass from Tekin Game Media, and they've uncovered this staggering metric. 90% of AI-driven software projects are experiencing catastrophic architectural failure the moment they reach, even just moderate complexity.
Yeah, it's a massive issue.
Okay, let's unpack this, because that number fundamentally shatters the promise we were all sold. I mean, the narrative was always that AI was going to write flawless code autonomously, and we would just supervise, right?
That was the dream, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But today, we are going to tear down why that assumption is basically destroying code bases. And more importantly, we're going to show you how you can implement this definitive five-stage agentic blueprint to actually achieve that legendary 10x velocity multiplier in your own engineering work.
And I want to set the analytical framework right out of the gate here, because it is a shocking failure rate, but this collapse, it's not a failure of the frontier models.
Wait, really? It's not the AI's fault?
No, not at all. It's not that reasoning engines like Claude 3.7, Sonnet, or GPT-5 lack the capability to write production-ready code. What we are witnessing is fundamentally a failure of human engineering discipline.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. I mean, we handed developers the most powerful cognitive engines ever created, but developers collectively decided they just, no longer needed a steering wheel.
That makes so much sense. I mean, think about that massive prompt you probably dropped into your IDE yesterday. You hit enter, you watched the syntax fly across the screen, the interface spun up, and you probably felt like a genius.
Right. You get that instant dopamine hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what this masterclass is telling us is that you likely just planted a time bomb in your code base. The Tekin Game team pinpoints the root cause of this failure rate to a practice they call vibe coding.
Vibe coding.
Yeah. And we really need to understand the mechanics of this disease before we look at the cure. Vibe coding is essentially abandoning systemic rigor. It's when you bypass schema design and state management planning, and instead you just throw this highly abstract, single-line, natural language blanket prompt at your AI agent.
Like, build me the app.
Right. You command it to build the entire inventory management and auth system, hit enter, and just assume the model will magically handle all the unstated dependencies.
What's fascinating here is the illusion of initial velocity that vibe coding generates. Because when you issue that vague, overarching prompt, the immediate feedback loop is just, it's incredibly seductive.
Oh, totally. It looks like it worked.
Exactly. You're watching hundreds of lines of syntactically perfect code materialize in seconds. You get a functional prototype that renders beautifully in the browser, and it feels like absolute magic.
But it's not.
No, it's not. Underneath that rendering, you have a structural mirage. The underlying logic is incredibly brittle, and the moment the application attempts to execute, say, complex cross-module state transitions or handle persistent data synchronization across distributed databases,
it just blows up.
The entire system fractures. Yeah.
Wait, so it's not that the AI gets dumb or, like, forgets out of code.
Yeah.
It's that the AI's short-term memory, its context window, gets so jammed up with rendering UI components and CSS classes that it actually loses the thread on the back-end database rules it just wrote a few minutes prior.
Precisely. The masterclass identifies this exact mechanism as context drift.
Context drift, okay.
Right. When you force an AI to conceptualize and generate a massive, multifaceted system all at once, you are flooding its context window with extraneous telemetry and sprawling, disjointed logic.
So it's basically overwhelmed.
Exactly. Transformer models rely on attention mechanisms to weigh the importance of different tokens. When the context becomes a dumping ground of front-end styles, back-end routes, and database schemas, the model's attention gets completely diluted. It loses the plot.
Wow.
It begins hallucinating conflicting dependencies, breaking the very API contracts it established moments ago, and you end up with this wave of cascading regressions.
It's like asking a contractor to build a nice house and walking away, only to return and find the plumbing running straight through the electrical panel.
That is a perfect analogy, actually. And by the time you notice the auth system is bypassing the database completely, the cumulative engineering hours required to untangle that mess far exceeds what it would have cost to just build the system systematically from scratch.
But hold on a second.
Yeah.
It is 2026. GPT-5 is out. We have agents with these massive context windows and advanced reasoning capabilities.
Yeah.
Why isn't the model smart enough to just infer the correct architectural patterns from my prompt. Like, shouldn't it realize that if I want an inventory system, I obviously need secure transactional consistency?
See, that assumption is the exact trap driving the 90% collapse rate.
Really?
Yeah. The Silicon Valley Systems Architecture Council published a core thesis on this, which the masterclass uses as its foundational premise. Artificial intelligence is a force multiplier for engineering cognition, but it is fundamentally incapable of substituting for it.
So it can't think entirely for us.
Right. If you, as the human orchestrator, do not have a rigorous, explicit mental model of the underlying system architecture, the AI cannot invent one for you out of thin air. Instead, the agent will merely code your confusion at the speed of light.
Code your confusion at the speed of light.
Wow.
So what does this all mean for us? If throwing a blank check at the AI leads to context drift and total structural collapse, how do we actually initiate a build correctly? I mean, we obviously start with a formal product requirements document, a PRD, to define the operational boundaries and user personas. Mm. But how do we stop the model from taking that PRD and just driving off a cliff?
Well, this is where we transition from unstructured vibe coding into the strict discipline of agentic engineering.
Yep.
The masterclass lays out a 5-stage blueprint, and the most critical phase actually happens before a single line of code is synthesized. Stage 2 flips the traditional human AI dynamic entirely. They call it the grill phase.
The grill phase. Okay, let's break down the mechanics of this, because usually we are sitting at the keyboard feeding commands to the AI. You're saying the workflow requires us to program the AI to interrogate us.
It is absolutely mandatory. Once your PRD is drafted, you do not ask the agent to generate code.
Not a single line.
Not a single line. Instead, you issue a principal architecture prompt. You instruct the frontier model to assume the persona of a relentless principal systems architect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And its sole directive during this phase is to interrogate your PRD, challenge your foundational assumptions, and expose every single architectural ambiguity you fail to define.
So it's grilling you on your own design.
Exactly. The model must generate a minimum of 10 rigorous, highly technical questions probing the vulnerabilities of your design.
Wait, so I'm essentially putting myself on the witness stand here. What kind of questions are we talking about?
Well, the agent is instructed to drill into the exact edge cases that humans typically gloss over during rapid prototyping.
Like what?
It will demand to know your explicit strategy for concurrency race conditions. Like, if two users attempt to claim the last item in the inventory system simultaneously, how are you handling the database lock?
Oh, that's incredibly specific.
Right. It will interrogate your failure recovery paths, too. If the third-party payment gateway times out after the database transaction has already started, what is your rollback mechanism?
Most vibe coders never even think about that until it breaks in production.
Exactly. It will grill you on strict database nullability risks and security constraints before a single table schema is allowed to be drafted.
You know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the economics of this interrogation phase make total sense. Resolving a critical logical flaw, like how a distributed database handles a network partition, it costs literally $0 and zero engineering hours if you solve it during the grill phase.
Because you're just typing.
Right. You are just debating concepts and updating text in the PRD. But if you vibe code your way past that ambiguity, that flaw gets baked into the foundation.
And trying to remediate a fundamental data consistency error after the application is deployed, that consumes thousands of hours. You risk catastrophic system outages because you literally have to tear the house down to fix the foundation.
Yeah, the cost asymmetry is monumental. The grill phase forces deterministic human governance over the architecture. Once you have successfully defended your PRD against the agent's interrogation and you've formalized your relational schemas and API payloads into a technical specification, then you can finally move to code generation.
Which brings us to the actual execution. Mm. And, you know, avoiding that dreaded context drift we talked about earlier, we have a bulletproof architecture now, but we still need the AI to write the syntax. How do we extract the code without breaking the agent's attention mechanism?
Stage 3 is decomposition. You take that overarching technical specification and you shatter it into what the blueprint calls atomic tickets.
Atomic tickets. Okay. Right. You do not ask the AI to build the auth system. You break the architecture down into fiercely isolated, tightly scoped tasks. And every single production-grade atomic ticket must enforce 3 immutable attributes to prevent drift.
Let's run through those attributes for everyone. Number 1 is an explicit goal. You are commanding the AI to, for example, implement JWT access token expiration handling. It's highly specific.
Very specific.
Number two is a strict scope boundary. And number three is unambiguous acceptance criteria. Like, you mandate that the code must intercept outbound requests, dispatch a valid refresh token, return a 200 HTTP status, and aggressively log all 401 unauthenticated anomalies.
Exactly. No room for interpretation.
Right. But here's where it gets really interesting, though. I want to zoom in on that second attribute, the strict scope boundary. The master class refers to this as the three-file scope ceiling.
Yes, this is crucial.
You restrict the agent to modifying a maximum of 2 to 3 files per ticket, completely locking it out of the rest of the repository. It's like giving a surgeon a microscope that only allows them to see the specific millimeter of tissue they were operating on.
That's a great way to look at it.
Because if they can see the whole room, they might get distracted by, you know, a flashing monitor or a dropping heart rate on a screen across the room. But locked into that microscopic view, they can only interact with what is immediately in front of them.
And that surgical isolation is the exact mechanical cure for context drift.
Wow, really? Just locking down the files fixes it.
Yeah, because in vibe coding, giving the AI read and write access to the entire repository overwhelms its attention heads. It tries to map dependencies across thousands of lines of irrelevant code. By enforcing a 3-file scope ceiling, you are drastically optimizing the token economics.
So it's not processing unnecessary junk.
Exactly. The AI's context window remains pristine and hyper-focused. It literally cannot hallucinate a conflicting dependency in your global router file because you have programmatically denied it permission to even read or edit the router file.
So it's forced tunnel vision. We're keeping the AI hyper-focused on one atomic piece of the puzzle. But this leads directly to a massive practical question.
Okay, what's that?
If we have these perfectly scoped atomic tickets and we are utilizing models that practically passed the bar exam, why does the blueprint mandate manual human review for every single ticket? Doesn't forcing a human to read and approve the code completely bottleneck that 10x velocity we are supposed to be getting? Like, if I have to review everything, aren't I just doing the work anyway?
This raises an important question about the reality of modern AI capabilities versus enterprise reliability. Because the Consortium for Enterprise Software Reliability has officially labeled the complete delegation of deployment authority to autonomous agents as a fatal misconception.
A fatal misconception.
Yeah, they actually categorize unconstrained agentic autonomy as literal architectural malpractice.
Architectural malpractice. I mean, that is a heavy accusation to level at a workflow that promises peak efficiency.
It is, but it's a necessary accusation. Because despite the monumental advancements in frontier models by 2026, critical systemic risks still persist. AI models still routinely suffer from what they call phantom dependency hallucinations.
Walk me through exactly what a phantom dependency hallucination looks like in a real code base, because that sounds like an absolute nightmare to debug.
Oh, it is. Imagine your AI is executing an atomic ticket to build a data visualization component, right? And it needs a specific charting library. Well, because the model is trained on billions of parameters, it might synthesize a highly plausible but entirely fictitious version of a package.
So it just makes up a library.
Exactly. It will import a library version that doesn't exist, or it will invoke a React state management hook, assuming it has global context when it's actually completely isolated. And the scary part is the syntax looks flawless. It passes a visual scan.
But the moment you compile,
the dependencies crash. Or worse, the AI writes a subtle concurrency deadlock in your database queries. Under normal testing, it works perfectly. But the second your system is under a heavy concurrent user load, two transactions lock each other out and the entire database grinds to a halt.
Oh man, that's brutal.
And that's not all. The AI will also routinely generate suboptimal query execution plans that silently hemorrhage your server compute resources in the background.
So you really can't just blindly merge an atomic ticket, even if it's strictly scoped to 3 files. Which brings us to the ultimate safety net. Stage 4, isolated sandbox auditing and human-in-the-loop governance.
Exactly. Before any agent-generated syntax is permitted to merge into the main production branch, it must survive a rigorous gauntlet. Every single atomic ticket is routed into a completely isolated sandbox environment.
Where it can't break anything real.
Right. Here, it undergoes automated virtual assertion scripts. It runs through rigorous TypeScript type checks. But the non-negotiable final step is a human supervisor executing a line-by-line logic audit.
Line-by-line.
Yes. You must catch these algorithmic hallucinations and concurrency deadlocks in the sandbox, where the operational cost of fixing them is near zero.
So the AI handles the mechanical synthesis, the actual physical typing of the syntax, but the engineering judgment, the security enforcement, and the ultimate architectural governance remain entirely with the human.
You own the architecture. The model owns the keystrokes.
I understand the safety mechanisms now. I really do. But mathematically, if I have to sit there and perform a line-by-line audit of every single atomic ticket, how am I actually achieving massive speed? I mean, not typing, sure, but reading and auditing complex logic takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the 10x multiplier actually materialize if I'm still the bottleneck?
The multiplier materializes in stage 5, advanced multi-agent swarm orchestration.
Swarm orchestration.
Yes. Because you have implemented rigid atomic tickets and sequestered everything into completely isolated sandboxes, you are no longer constrained by sequential development. You parallelize the entire build.
Ah, okay. So I'm no longer acting as a solo developer typing out logic block by block, I am stepping into the role of a supreme orchestrator, managing a concurrent team of highly specialized AI subagents.
Precisely. Attempting to use a single generalized model to build the entire full-stack application is what triggers context drift. The AI gets confused between back-end logic and front-end styling.
Right, it's too much context.
But with swarm orchestration, a human technical lead coordinates multiple specialized agents simultaneously. The masterclass breaks down a highly specific swarm topology for a modern ecosystem to illustrate this.
Let's look at why this topology works mechanically, because the blueprint outlines 4 specialized subagents.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Agent 1 is dedicated entirely to database and migration. Its only universe is tables, indexes, and row-level security policies. It is locked into generating SQL DDL and interacting with the database CLI. And then the human validates this work by auditing the explain queries.
Concurrently, you deploy Agent 2. The backend API agent. Its sole focus is implementing serverless routes, like next.js, and enforcing strict data validation schemas, maybe using Zod. The human verifies this logic through endpoint testing and mock assertions.
And right alongside that, completely unaware of the database or the API, is Agent 3, the front-end UI/UX agent. Its entire context window is dedicated to constructing modular React components and implementing the design system with, like, shared CNUI and tailwind CSS.
And finally, Agent 4 is the QA and security agent, writing unit and integration assertions in isolated test runners using tools like Jest and Playwright.
We divide them like this because generating complex SQL schemas requires a fundamentally different reasoning pattern than tweaking CSS paddings. If one AI tries to balance both, it starts crossing wires. Right, like confusing back-end security constraints with front-end aesthetics.
And this separation is the absolute genius of the 5-stage blueprint. Because of the strict boundaries of the atomic tickets, your front-end agent can be styling a component while your database agent is simultaneously generating complex Postgres migrations.
And they never mess each other up.
Never. They will never cause mutual context contamination because they are not operating in the same environment. They literally cannot step on each other's toes.
So the human orchestrator simply sits at the center of this web, reviewing the automated tests, auditing the sandbox logic, and merging the pull requests as they flood in concurrently.
Exactly. That parallelization is how you achieve a 10x acceleration in engineering velocity without compromising structural integrity or security.
It is a complete paradigm shift. To summarize this new reality, the masterclass provides a definitive 2026 developer checklist. This is your framework for avoiding the 90% collapse rate. Let's run through it quickly.
Let's do it.
First, the zero blanket prompt rule. Never initiate a project with a broad natural language command. You must define the boundaries first.
Crucial.
Second, the mandatory grill gate. Withhold all coding permissions until the AI has ruthlessly interrogated your architecture and you have solved the edge cases.
The 3-file scope ceiling. Restrict all atomic tickets to a tiny footprint to protect the token economics and prevent hallucination.
Test-driven acceptance. Formulate your criteria as automated, executable assertions before you ever prompt the implementation.
Pre-merge sandbox audits. Always verify agent-authored code inside an isolated branch before you let it touch production.
And look, it demands an upfront time investment. Drafting rigorous technical specifications and submitting to the grill phase is not suited for a disposable single-use script.
Sure.
But for enterprise systems, for any architecture that requires scaling, security, and long-term maintenance, this blueprint is the only sustainable path forward. The verdict from the Taking Game editorial board is absolute. The artificial intelligence revolution will not eliminate software engineers. It elevates them.
It elevates them.
Yeah. Vibe coding trades long-term stability for a fleeting rush of initial speed. Agentic coding builds sustainable excellence by wrapping the raw computational power of AI inside a strict, unyielding framework of human planning and governance.
We retain mastery over the architecture, and we let the agents handle the execution. But, you know, this massive shift in how we build software leaves us with a really incredibly provocative question to mull over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If we are fully transitioning into an era where AI agents handle all the syntax generation, like, if the keystrokes are entirely automated, how does the next generation of engineers actually learn the trade?
That's a great point.
If your sole value is your architectural judgment and your ability to answer complex edge case questions during the grill phase, how do you develop that intuition if you haven't spent 5 years wrestling with the syntax yourself? What happens to the junior developer pipeline when there is no longer a job for a junior coder to write the basic implementation? Are we pulling up the ladder behind us, or will a new method of training emerge entirely? Something to think about the next time you drop a prompt into your IDE. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.